he wanted me to let you all know that he loves and misses everybody, and he is praying for us this morning. And also, he just wanted to say that if anybody's tried to reach out to him, he said he's, his reception's been a little sketchy where he's been for the past several days. So I just wanted to let y'all know that. And does anybody have any announcements? And other announcements are on the back of your bulletin. The ice cream social is next Sunday, the 30th, at the Kurtz's. We'll go on to prayer requests then, if there's no other announcements. Any prayer requests?
The Cunningham family, all the Cunningham lost her brother, and her son-in-law lost his polio. So keep them in prayer. His name is Julian Worley.
Julian Worley?
Yeah. A prayer request for my friend Karen.
Okay.
She's got some unknown, not well.
Any other prayer requests? Then let us go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we pray for all those that have been mentioned this morning. We pray for the loss of Julian Worley and his family. Please be with them and comfort them in their need in this time. And also be with Karen, Katie's friend, with the health issues that she has going on. We know that you are the healer of everything and that you are with her in this time. And thank you, and keep everybody that is not here today safe. And we praise you. And thank you in your most holy name. Amen. We gather together in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your paths. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait.
Amen.
If we say we have fellowship with God, or we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions. Wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sins. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and uphold us with a willing spirit. Amen.
Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name.
Amen.
Your book with me in the insert will be using Psalms 124 as a call to worship and then singing hymn 506. If the Lord has not been on our side, let Israel now say.
If the Lord has not been on our side, when enemies arose up against us,
then would they have swallowed us up alive in their fierce anger towards us.
Then would the waters have overwhelmed us, and the torrent gone over us.
Then would the raging waters have gone right over us.
Blessed be the Lord. He has not given us over to be a prey of their teaching.
We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowler, The snare is broken, and we have escaped.
Our help is in the name of the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth.
This morning is from Job chapter 38, verses 1 through 11. The Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Dress for action like a man. I will question you, and you make it known to me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Or who shut in the sea with doors, when it burst out from the womb? When I made clouds its garment, and thick darkness its swaddling band, and prescribed limits for it, and set bars and doors, and said, thus far shall you come and no farther, and here shall your proud waves be stayed. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Which far exceeds all we can desire Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, he lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And as your children, we are bold to pray together, Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
The second reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 through 13. Working together with Christ, then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, In a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We put no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with their ministry. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, by great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by truthful speech, and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise, we are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing everything. We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted in your own affections. In return, I speak as to children. Widen your hearts also. Here ends the reading.
Blessed be the King of the Lord. Blessed be the King of the Lord.
4, verses 35 to 41. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Thus saith the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Glad to see all of you here this morning. It's always good when someone who is not the pastor of the church is asked to preach and the congregation actually show up. And on a 100 degree projected day as well. Thank you, Mona's daughter, whose name I always forget,
Jeannie,
for a lovely rendition this morning. It was just what I needed. What a blessing. O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable unto thee. Amen. The title of my message, which I usually don't get it in time to put it in the bulletin, and I didn't this time, is In the Boat. And we're going to go through several points and arrive at a conclusion. And we're going to look at both Job and the scripture from Mark as we do this. We see that God questions Job, and we're there right with him trying to make an answer, and we realize we can't. We weren't there when God laid the foundations of the earth. We have no clue how he did it. We don't even know how many years it took for all of that to come into being. God's really questioning Job's knowledge of God's nature. Here we have Job who, if you remember the story, he's about to be tested and tried by Satan. And if he had any idea that he was good enough on his own to overcome Satan, it was quickly dispelled by this line of questioning. He saw how small he was in the face of God's strength. Can we look at the earth out here and cause a human being to spring forth? No. Can we look at the clouds above and tell them to rain and they do? No. God has continued to ask these questions down through time. We hear them and we have the same response as Job. We were not there when you made all it is. We cannot even conceive how you did it. We don't even understand how something sprang up from nothing. Was it billions of years ago or only a couple of thousand? We have people in both camps today, don't we? There is no agreement on that. Every day I look at my phone and I somewhere along the line liked one of those pages that has to do with ancient Egypt and digging up stuff over there. And almost every day they found something new. Maybe you saw this week in the news feed on AOL or whatever it is on my phone. There was an obelisk, a very tall one, that sprung up again in the desert overnight. It's happened a couple of times before in a couple of different areas. What is that? We don't know. So it's the same today as it was in Job's time. We know that Job was allowed to go through a lot of trials at the hands of Satan. Why is that? What did Satan hope to accomplish? He wanted Job to give up his faith in God, didn't he? And worship him instead of God. And he was kind of daring God and saying, give him over to me for a few minutes. I'll show you how much he has in faith. I'll show you how much he loves you. It won't take me long. I'll afflict him with all kinds of diseases and illnesses, and I'll take away all his friends and his family, and I'll take away all of his flocks and everything that matters. And we'll see. He'll start worshiping me because he'll know I can give it all back to him because I took it away. So that kind of brings us to another point. Why did God allow this suffering for Job? Why didn't he save him immediately? Job was the most faithful, obedient servant that there was. God certainly could have, because he had the power, we just established that, could have taken all that away. He could have said, no, Satan, I'm not going to let you do all this stuff. I trust Job. His faith is genuine. His love for me is genuine. We're just dying to go there. Why did he not do that? Don't you ask that question when you read this story? I know every time I've read it, it's like, wow, he had to go through so much. Why? And it comes back to the basic question, what is the purpose of sickness and suffering? Lately, at least one-third of our members have been absent on Sunday due to cancer, surgery, colds, stomach viruses, you name it. We have had it in this congregation. Even allergy, which you know I struggle with. Got my water in case my voice gets faint. Yes, I sprayed the nose spray this morning. Now I can't breathe right, but that's the way it goes. Some mornings it works, some mornings it doesn't. We see right here in the congregation that there's a lot of suffering in the world and a lot of sickness. We have prayer for the sick and anointing with oil, and now we have healing services for group prayer. So if our faith is great enough, does that mean we will be healed? I love that response. Glancing around at how many are still suffering, I would say no. We will be healed, but usually not today. Why is this? Well, in some sense, pain and suffering date back to the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve sinned and they brought about a change to the earth. There was a curse placed upon the earth and on a lot of things. You read about it in Romans chapter 5, verses 12 and 14, and some other places. And I like to think about it as roses didn't have thorns before then, now they do. Because I like roses a lot. I got to enjoy some this week. I attended the funeral of a lady who was 90 years old and had worked until 8 weeks before she died. And she was one of my staunchest members of the United Methodist Church that I pastored over in Huddleston. And her daughter would drive over from the Shenandoah Valley to be at church every Sunday. And she'd been at that church her whole life. No one was more supportive of me in difficult times than that woman. And it was my privilege to be able, now that I'm retired, to go to her funeral and honor her this week. And as I was leaving, her daughter was carrying a couple of flower arrangements out, and she said, "Here, take one of these and enjoy it at your home." And she gave me the most gorgeous arrangement that had yellow, which is my favorite, roses in it, and little white roses, and pink carnations, and white other stuff, and a lot of greenery, and I enjoyed it all this week. But those roses had to have the thorns trimmed off of them, or they were grown to not have those. There are ways of dealing with it genetically now, I believe. But the reason roses have thorns is because of the curse upon the earth, and there were several curses placed back in the Old Testament. And I believe that illness and suffering, we know suffering in childbirth for women, came about as a result of Eve having picked that piece of fruit off the wrong tree and eating it, and not only eating it, passing it on to Adam to eat. So sickness, suffering, they've been around a long time. The Methodists like to say, because y'all know I was a Methodist pastor for a few years, we like to say we are moving on to perfection. We haven't arrived at it here on earth, but we will one day. Well, why is that? It's a cute little saying. Well, it's because God is going to give us new bodies. And that's in Philippians chapter 3, verse 21, and in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 to 52. And a song comes to mind from back in the 70s. I'll have a new body, praise the Lord, I'll have a new life. Do you remember that one? Mona is my consultant on 70s gospel music. I didn't think about that while I was writing the sermon, but it just popped in my head now. I knew you'd appreciate that. In the gospel reading today, we see again the answer to this question about why do we have sickness and suffering. Jesus took the disciples aside to learn a new lesson. Okay, remember that, to learn a new lesson. He decided to rest on the trip from one side of the big lake they were on to the other side. It was a big lake. He went, what? Sound asleep. And the disciples started out fine, but a wind blew up and all of a sudden it was howling like these bad tornadic storms that we've been seeing with this hot weather in the summer. The waves were crashing against the boat, and they were afraid the craft they were in would capsize in the storm. It was bad. Yet, Jesus slept. Was he just exhausted? No. They cried out to him, "Don't you care about us? Look what's happening." Their first thought was for their own lives. Faith went overboard and fast, didn't it? Doesn't take us long when bad stuff starts happening. Faith goes out the window. I don't understand why this is happening to me. All the miracles that Jesus had done, and still they didn't know who he really was. The creator of all that is. He's in the boat with you. Right here. Do you really need to be afraid? The same thing happens today. We receive Christ into our hearts and the world seems full of light. We feel free from sin. We are exuberant. And this is if you didn't grow up in the church and you suddenly decided to turn your life over to Christ. We're exuberant about it. It gives us a special joy that we didn't have before. Many ministers make the Christian life sound really carefree, super glamorous. We have our ticket to heaven, punch now. We can relax. I've sat in some meetings and the pastor has acted like, or the evangelist, I really should say, wasn't the pastor, it was an evangelist. Because I feel like that's really the case. You got it now. You're saved. Don't have to worry anymore. But that is just not true. The Christian life is a battlefield. And Scripture tells us clearly, we must put on what? The whole armor of God. Why would we need armor if everything's still being nice and rosy now? Put on that whole armor of God that we might be able to defeat the devil. If you study the Scriptures, as many of you do in Bible studies, you know that Satan is loose here on earth with his angels, the fallen angels, roaming to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. And yes, I believe in a personal devil, a real being, an entity, not just a vague evil. But we think we can exchange our many good deeds for God's blessings. We're so innocent in our thoughts about this. Oh, I go to church every Sunday. I serve on this board at the church. I get there early and I do this, that, or the other for the service. I clean up afterwards. I go and call on people in the hospital. I take hungry people food. I send cards to the bereaved and birthday cards. I do it all. And I'm just stacking up all these blessings in heaven. My crown is going to be full, isn't it? We want those gold stars on our report card just like we used to get in elementary school, don't we? But this is real life. It's not elementary school. And we are human, subject to the effects of that curse. We sin. We disobey God. And just like little children that need correcting, we need what? Disciplining. So God forms us into useful members of his family. The Lord disciplines those he loves. Discipline hurts, but it makes us better people. It's in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 7 and 11. So a reason for sickness and suffering is discipline. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. Revelation chapter 3, verse 19. We may not like it, but it's what God says he does. We just celebrated Father's Day. Not everyone is blessed to have had a good father, but if you were, you will remember how he held you accountable for your actions. He loved you too much to let you run wild. I remember sitting next to my father in the Baptist church where we were members when I was 3-4 years old, and they took me to big people's church. They did not allow me to go any nursery. I was an only child and stayed an only child, and I had strict parents, and I remember found it so interesting listening to the minister because he used these big words and I couldn't figure out what they meant. And I remember sitting there thinking about it. Wonder what he's saying. What does that mean? And I get bored, obviously. It was a long time. This guy would preach a long time. And I'd start looking through the hymn book. I had an interest in music from a very early age. And I would be flipping the hymn book pages. And my father would realize that it was being distracting to others. And he would do that on my knee. That meant stop what you're doing. So I would sit for a little bit longer. And if it was in the wintertime, there was a couple that used to sit in front of us. And the lady had the most gorgeous fur stole on. And I found that so interesting. I would look at it. I think, boy, that looks soft. I'd really like to touch that. And before you know it, I was rubbing that fur. Now, she didn't mind, and I think every one of us, when you see a fur coat, that's the urge, is to go up and rub it. Because just like with kitties, when we see a kitty, we want to go hug it. We want to stroke it. But once again, my arm would get this. That meant, stop that too. Now, it didn't end there. I was held accountable for my actions. If my father had to do too much more during that hour and a half of church, it was not beyond him to take me outside. Although I don't remember that happening. But the other thing that would happen is a little whisper, when we get home, I'm going to deal with you. And we did. On at least one occasion, I remember getting a little whipping. But back in that day, that was allowed. And believe me, after having a whipping, you didn't do whatever it was again. My father loved me too much to let me run wild. And I had a good father. He took good care of his family. He worked hard and did what was best for us. And I am grateful. We have a good father in God. He holds us accountable for our actions. We've observed that suffering causes us to seek comfort. We search the Bible for reasons for our misfortune, for a promise of brighter days to cling to, for examples of others who have experienced great pain and been rescued or found something positive from it. We love to read the stories of people like Corrie Ten Boom, who were in Nazi concentration camps and yet clung to their faith and then came out to talk about how many people there they helped, how they eased the suffering of others. People like, what's that young lady? She was a swimmer and she dove in the pool and did something and broke her neck. And she was...
Johnny Erickson,
that's right. I've heard her speak and she's very moving to hear speak. And you're like, wow, why did these things happen? Young people in the prime of their life have an accident and then can't walk anymore. And yet you realize that she has had a ministry since that accident and has reached a lot of people. She's turned something positive out of that bad experience. Suddenly, when we are suffering, we learn how to pray, don't we? We may not know how beforehand, but when we have a bad experience and it's all-encompassing, we learn how to pray. I wrote down here, do you remember 9/11? What did you do that day? I was at work, and I remember hearing about it and seeing it on the news on my computer. And going upstairs, they had a television on, and the news was on, and I watched those planes hit the towers and that fire, and realized what a huge thing this was in America's history, and was just kind of mesmerized in front of the screen, not believing it was true in America. And I wrote, what did you do that day? Well, maybe not that day, but the next day and the next week. I think everybody in America found religion that day, don't you? We suddenly became one country, and it didn't matter whether we were Republican or Democrat, whether we were black, white, purple, it didn't matter. We were America, and we suddenly pulled together, which was very exciting on the one hand, comforting to realize who we were as a nation, but our world changed that day. Suffering. What do you do? Well, you pray. It's a natural response even for a person who may not be a Christian. Oh, this is funny. I had 4 pages to my sermon. And you're probably going to be excited, but guess what? I didn't pull the 4th page out of my notebook, which is back at home. But that's okay. My final point was to pull this all together. Suffering teaches us patience. Those people that are in nursing homes and have to lay in bed all day, can't do too much but pray. They have to learn patience, don't they? They have a lot more patience than we do. This is a very impatient society we live in. I am more impatient than most people. It aggravates me in traffic to be behind others that will move when they could. it's something that we learn because of suffering. So yes, suffering has a purpose. Yes, it's there to teach. Yes, God could save us from it, but he doesn't. We have to learn that in this world, there is suffering, there's pain, there's sickness. But what do we also see about the disciples in that boat? What's the one thing that stands out in the end? Who's in there with us? We're in the boat, but Jesus is in the boat too. And he is not uncaring. When asked, "Don't you care about us?" Jesus woke up and looked around and said, "Oh, got a little storm going on." And he commanded the waves to be still. And they did. God may not change our illness. He may not take it away. But he stills the ocean that we are floating in. Because he changes us. He holds our hand as we go through whatever it is that we must face. Now, a lot of times, what's true is that what we are facing is something that we need to face because we're going to have a bigger challenge down the road. And I've seen it happen, unfortunately. My life, if I started listing all the negatives, it's probably just like yours. You could fill a book. You know, bad stuff happens. And I almost made the title of my message today, "When Bad Things Happen to Good People." Remember that book and that phrase? Why does it happen? Well, because we're not in heaven yet. We don't have our new bodies yet. There are things we have to learn. We have to learn patience. We have to learn obedience. We have to learn how to pray. And we're lacking in all of that if we admit it. So, we should be grateful for the challenges because they're going to have a positive result in our lives ultimately. And even if we never get better, I don't expect that I'm going to be able to run up these stairs faster now, that the cartilage will grow back in my knees, even though they tell me that that little osteobiflex pill makes it happen. No, it doesn't. It might grease the joints a little bit, but it doesn't make anything grow back. I've counted it something like between 13 and 19, I can't remember, supplements and vitamins I take every day, and I forgot to take three this morning because I was hurrying to get here and be on time for a change. And, you know, you don't want to be late on the day you're supposed to preach. That's not good. And I apologize, but the older I get, the slower I get in everything I do. And some of you can relate to that. And some mornings I get it all together, and some mornings I don't. But I will be here on time when I'm preaching, because that is not a good example to be late. And I strive to be on time every week. And I'll do better, is what I will say. Things we have to learn, things we must accept, and when we do, God will bring good from it. Brethren, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in good health, the disciple wrote. God wants the best for us, but we have to live in a cursed world, and we have to learn the lessons that are there for us. Jen, we're going to join you in saying the Apostles' Creed, and then we're going to share in the communion in just a little bit. Thank you for allowing me to come and share the word with you this morning.
Thank you.
confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in
God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen. You may be seated. If you'll join me in the Eucharistic prayer, the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Transforming God, we return unending gratitude for your limitless generosity. In the crucified and risen Christ, you show us the extent and cost of your love. Though he was rich, yet for our sake he became poor, so that by his poverty we might become rich. He became what we are, that in the power of your Holy Spirit we might become what he is. You destined from the beginning that we might become your companions forever. And so we delight to join saints and angels and all the company of heaven gathered around your glorious throne, singing the never-ending praise of your name.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
On the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus gathered the disciples together in the upper room, as we call it, a room apart from others. And they all were there, even Judas. And he washed their feet, and he told them that this was going to be the last time on the earth that he would have this celebration with them. Our table here is spread. It's a table that includes the Savior's body, which is broken for us and for many for the forgiveness of sin, and the cup, which is poured out for us and for many, the blood of Christ, which cleanses. Cleansing God, your touch and word turned death to life in the body of a young girl. And when a suffering woman touched the hem of your garment, you proclaimed that her faith had made her well. Come among us now in that same word and touch and restore the body, mind, and spirit of your church to life in your name. In the power of the Holy Spirit, speak over and touch this bread and this cup, that we may find in them your healing and resurrection, and they may be for us the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup. Again, he gave you thanks and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Healing God, when your son raised the daughter of Jairus, he ordered that she be given something to eat. Make this meal one that it anticipates the coming of your kingdom, where fear is turned to belief, sickness becomes wholeness, ridicule is changed into worship, and grief is transformed into dancing. Instill hope in your church, raise up the fallen and disgraced, lift up the downtrodden, and renew your whole creation in the ways of justice and peace, that all the world may come to enjoy the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, in the grace of your Holy Spirit, in union with you, Father most merciful, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The table is spread. All are welcome who love our Lord. Thank you.
Grant, we beseech thee, Almighty God, that the works which we have heard this day with our outward ears may through the grace be so grafted inwardly in our hearts, that they may bring forth in us the fruit of good living to the honor and praise of thy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us close our worship by standing and singing together hymn 357. Services over. Go in peace to serve our Lord.